Welcome to the teachings of Pastor Mike Yost of the Springs Calvary Chapel in Habern, Idaho. Please join us as we study the Word of God.
If you'd like to turn in your Bibles, we're going to be in Acts chapter 16 today because we see the birth of a church. This birth of this church is very important because it would be the first church in Europe. And my friends, we're here today because this church in Philippi was born and the gospel went across Europe and from Europe came here to the United States. But I did want to share, as we're going to talk about the birth of a church, that this church's birth started a long time before. And it actually started with Marilee and Julie in a place called Twin Falls, where they were instrumental in starting Twin Falls Calvary Chapel. Julie was married. Her husband was killed in a tragic plane crash. She was a mother with two young kids. But from that settlement, Julie tithed to begin CSN radio station. Now, what ended up happening around that same time, unbeknownst to me, was we in Yucca Valley became the first CSN radio station satellite. Up to then, it had all been out of Twin Falls, Idaho, so we were the very first ones to go online as a satellite radio. Well, shortly after that, I was invited up to speak on a Wednesday night. We were going to be on the radio, which was very cool for all of our people in Joshua Springs. But Marilee and her husband, Brent, were in charge of Gerald duty. Okay, I had come up and they had to entertain me. And they said, well, what do you want to do? And I said, well, if I can, my last name is Hagerman. I want to go to Hagerman, Idaho. And so they took me over to Hagerman, Idaho. And it was so fun because I'm taking my picture by the Hagerman Chamber of Commerce, the Hagerman Police Department. There's even a church there called the Hagerman Christian Center. I ought to be pastor of that place, you know. And we went out to eat at a place called the Riverbank, and they had bumper stickers, I with a heart, love Hagerman. And I go in, I go, I gotta have those. And I said, how much are they? And the guy goes, $20. I said, well, maybe I don't have to have them. He said, really, they're a dollar, but you wanted it so bad, I thought I could make some money off of you. Anyway, as life moved on, Marilee's husband went home to be with the Lord. My wife went home to be with the Lord of the exact same cancer in the same year. And Marilee and I were married a year later, and we've been now married 13 years. So after Marilee and her husband had left Twin Falls, Jeff and Julie were wonderful partners in building Buell Calvary Chapel. So they started in a pawn shop there and then ended up building a building, and Marilee's husband and Jeff were very instrumental in all of that. Then Jeff and Julie moved to a place called Burley, Idaho. And that's where our story begins today. So if you'd like to look in the Bible to Acts chapter 16, I'm actually going to begin in verse number 6. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So they passed by Mysia, and they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man from Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia. And I love the way it says this, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, my friends, I want to tell you, The Lord brought to us just such a wonderful gift at Joshua Springs when Mike and Cheryl moved down from a very beautiful place called Mammoth, California. And Mike began working for us. He was a teacher. Cheryl managed Yvonne's bakery department. They're both very qualified, wonderful people. Mike also went through our Bible college at that time, and Cheryl had always had a heart to go into missions. The door opened up for them to be able to go to Philippines. We had been a part of a ministry in Philippines for many years, and they went over there and served faithfully in the Philippines for 6 years. And actually, we were trying, there was a transition that was happening over there, and our church was actually trying to be the ones, because there were some difficulties over there, and Mike and Cheryl had been so faithful through all the different oppositions that they had faced over there, and we were trying to make it our mission, and that door just closed. And as that closed, we all got together as a board, as Mike and Cheryl. And so as that door was closing, we had invited them to come back to Joshua Springs. It was around that time that Julie called Marilee and said, just like the Macedonian call, come help us. We're here and we need a Bible teaching church. And as much as I would have loved to keep Mike and Cheryl, because they are awesome, there is something that God has laid in my heart, and that's this. We are called to raise up the next generation. We are called to go into all the world and preach the gospel, and I've learned something. I can't keep the best for myself. I have to be willing to send out my very best. You know, this week we went to Tooele, Utah. My son-in-law and daughter started a church in Tooele, Utah, the least evangelical county in the entire country of the United States. And they have a great church there. But, you know, I only have one daughter. She's my princess and will always be my princess. And we sent her to the uttermost parts of the world, you know, being in Tooele, Utah is like being in another country. But anyway, we began to share with Mike and Cheryl. I said, because when he was saying about the Philippines is hot, it is hot. But what he didn't tell you is like there's 100% humidity to go with that hot. So, you know, here's how cruel the Philippines can be to you. First of all, you have to take a cold shower. I hate cold showers. But then as soon as you get out of the shower, you need another shower because the moment you step outside, it is like hot and humid. But we began to share with them about this call, come help us. And they concluded that this is what God was doing. And here's how much they believe that. Sight unseen. Never been here. Never been here in January. You know, little did I know when all of this was happening. I'll never forget, we were on the radio. Marilee and I had a show called Casting Cares. And so we were sharing about starting a church in well, it ended up in Rupert, was the first building in Burley, Rupert area. And I'll never forget, and this is probably, you're probably here in the church today, but there's an older guy on the phone, he calls us and he goes, we don't want any more Californians. Boy, and that was before the mass exodus. Yeah, Marilee and I always joke, we go, when we got married, we didn't realize California and Idaho were going to get married. And honestly, within even this church, there's Idahoans married to Californians. And it's so awesome to see what God has done in raising up people. But I said, little did I know when we were starting this, and we were starting a refugee center for people who have escaped from communism. California. You know, Literally, and I'm not exaggerating, we've had 150 families from our church move to Idaho in different places, and almost weekly there's someone moving to Burley, Idaho. So there's more coming, by the way. You know, we still have a couple that sat on the end of the front row, and they're coming. So they're a wonderful family. This is the deal. You're getting all wonderful families and conservative people, so be thankful for that. But anyway, it was so fun. And it's hysterical. If you ever want to come and visit, you're going to feel very much at home in our parking lot, because every fifth car has an Idaho license plate, including mine. Marilyn and I would end up buying a home in Hagerman, Idaho. So you have to like me a little bit, because I'm an Idaho taxpayer, all right? Gooding County, Idaho, we're there. But it is hysterical, because several of our pastors are married to Idahoans. Their families are up here. So literally, you pull into our parking lot, and every fifth car has an Idaho tag. Of course, it's like one-fifth of what it costs in California to tag your car there. But here's the thing. Come and help us, and Mike and Cheryl, sight unseen, as they were praying, they were going, this is the door that God opened for us. God guides our lives by open doors and closed doors. And it's so amazing when you see how God does that. We have Jerry and Tracy here, and Tracy and Marilee worked together in Malawi, in the children's village at Malawi, and we're going to get Mike and Cheryl there sometime, because everything about what we're doing there is what they wanted to do, to build tilapia farms so you can grow your own food, and we grow corn there, and everything that they had the heart to do that they couldn't do is being done there. So we want to see them go and see that, because they have such a wonderful heart for missions. Come and help us. And concluding that this is what the Lord had, they walk through the open door. Now, in the first part of this chapter, Paul takes a young man by the name of Timothy. This is the other thing that God has done in our hearts and lives, and you here in this church have been a recipient of that as well. I've been a pastor for over 40 years now, and I know for myself, my calling is to raise up the next generation, to take young men and young women and pour into them that pattern of the ministry to be able to go on. And again, then, not to keep them for ourselves, but to send them out to the uttermost parts of the world. And my friends, every church has that calling of God. Every church needs to realize, wait a minute, part of what we need to do is raise up the next generation. Church is never about just making it comfortable for ourselves. The church is God's idea, where we all come together because he is able to do what he could never do with any of us on an individual basis. I mean, Idaho's got the most gorgeous scenery to go to. And hey, is it awesome? And can I worship God? You know, we have the beautiful waterfall down there at Ritter Island, and I love going down there and just standing before the waterfall, and it's awesome, and I can worship the Lord, but that's not the same as the church. The church wasn't man's idea, it was God's idea, and the church isn't to make ourselves happy. The church is to reach out, to be a vehicle, to reach out to a fallen world. And so that's exactly what happened here in this church in the Springs Calvary Chapel. And it was interesting, Because they're going to start in a house when they move up here. Mike and Cheryl had sold their home in California before they went on the mission field. They had saved the money that they had made over that house. And fortunately, they moved here before all the other Californians moved here and were able to afford to buy a house there. Bought a beautiful house out in the Paul area. I love it. It's a historic, beautiful home there and just has wonderful feeling out there. But I want to read the next part of what happened. After hearing the voice of come help us, in verse number 11, therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day we came to Neapolis. Neapolis, you know, it's not too hard to understand what that means. It means new city. It's right on the shores. There's still a city there today, and Cavala is the present name of it. Marilee and I have been there because we've been to the ruins of Philippi. And from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some day. You know, it's interesting because all across even our own country, we have regional cities. This obviously is a regional hub. You know, you got the Walmart, the Home Depot, you're a regional center, right? And so for these Roman colonies, Rome, as they expanded their kingdom, did something pretty smart. For all of their military that retired, if they moved to what was called a colony city, and there, it was a Rome away from Rome, but they had a big incentive to get people to move there. You know what it was? Tax-free. So that would be an incentive yet today, wouldn't it? I'd move to a city that's tax-free. So they moved there because it's a tax-free city. That way, Rome was able to extend its influence into the empire, actually changing even the culture that was there. So that's what Philippi was. It was a colony city. And it says in verse 13, and on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now, one thing that we know, it's completely Roman city. There was no synagogue because if the Jews had 10 males, they'd have a synagogue. So the voice that they heard, and I love this part of the story, it was a man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. When they got there, they found women. They found women praying by a river. Now, a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshiped God. Purple was one of the most expensive clothing items that there were because you actually make it from a dye of a shell. And this shell only gives two drops of this dye that ends up getting to be that purple color. So Lydia was a very successful businesswoman. In today's standard, she would have been the owner of Nordstrom's. Okay, we're talking about a woman of the higher echelon dealing in the nicest clothes that there were of that day and who worshiped God. And the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. And she constrained him. So, as if you were out there yesterday at Jeff and Julie's home, that's where this church was began, on their back patio there way back in June, and then Bible studies in Mike and Cheryl's home for about the next 6 months. And then the Lord opened up being able to rent a storefront on the city square of Rupert. And you know what? Rupert has an awesome city square, don't they? I mean, I love going there. I love seeing it. I was so excited when they got a building there. And it's interesting because it was a long, narrow building. And it was exactly Jeff had experienced from Buell, Idaho, because their first building was a pawn shop, which was a long, narrow building. Now, it's rather exciting when you're in a building like that because you have to have the opening to the street. Okay, you have to have it when people walk in. They actually, you know, walk in to where you are, which means the church, front of the church is here, which also means that the bathrooms have to be farther back. So it's rather exciting in church. You can see who has to go to the bathroom because they eventually have to walk up front. But here's the thing. They started there. But Mike did what the Apostle Paul did. He taught the whole counsel of God's word. My friends, in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, when Paul is saying goodbye to the Ephesian elders, he declares something. For I have not shunned, Acts 20:27, I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and all the flock amongst which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. I love the scripture in Jeremiah where it says, and I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Again, I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. When Paul is writing to Timothy, this young man, and Timothy is a part of starting the church in Philippi. He just brought him along with him at that point. And eventually, young Timothy is going to be raised up. He's going to be pastoring in Corinth. He's going to be pastoring in Ephesus. But Paul would write Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. And this is actually the theme verse for Calvary Bible Institute. And by the way, if you haven't gotten a magazine, we were the cover story for this year at the Calvary Magazine. I saw some out here on the table. But this is what it says. You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You see, my friends, there are not many churches that actually teach through the Bible. You would think that that would happen all over the place. And I want to tell you, I'm from Kansas originally, so that's the other reason you have to like me. I'm a farmer, all right? I'm a wheat farmer from Kansas. That's why you are instantly drawn to me. But as I pastored in Kansas, for the first 9 years, I did what most pastors do. Now, I want to tell you, I sincerely wanted to do what was right, but I'd pray all week long as far as where I should preach. And it was interesting because I thought God could only tell me on Saturday where I needed to be on Sunday. And I did what most pastors do. I'd pick 6 or 7 verses out of a portion of scripture. I'd make 3 points with 1 main point. And next week I'd be somewhere else. Now in those days, I was a brand new pastor. And so I wrote most things down. I had note cards that I used. And then I filed them. And it was an amazing thing after I discovered Calvary Chapel and the power of just teaching through the scriptures, that I went back and looked. I'd been there 9 years. That's how long Mike and Cheryl been here. And I'm very happy to tell you, and you should be very, very happy, they have taught through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Is that awesome? And there were entire chapters out of the New Testament I'd never done once. Entire books out of the Bible I'd never covered once. In fact, this is going to shock you. The majority of pastors out there have never even read through the whole Bible. And when they went to Bible college, they didn't study the Bible. They studied about the Bible. And that's why I always share with people, if you're going to have a Bible study, what should you do? Study the Bible. Don't study a book about the Bible. Study the Bible. You know, Marilee teaches ladies Bible study. You know what she does? She teaches a book of the Bible. And you know what she does when she's done? She teaches another book of the Bible. You know what our youth groups do? They teach a book of the Bible. And when they're done, they teach another book of the Bible. You know what our children's ministry does? They teach a book of the Bible. When they're done, they teach another book of the Bible. Because the Word of God is living, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It operates in our life. I always tell our Bible college students, I said, people aren't going to be saved by your clever words. They're not going to be saved by your hashtags, all right? Here's what they're going to be saved: by the power of the living Word of God. It operates in our lives. It goes even to the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So the Word of God is able to deal with issues that are in our lives before they ever become destructive actions. Can I hear hallelujah? So that's the power of teaching the entirety of the Word of God. But I want to tell you, Paul would warn Timothy, there would come a day where people wouldn't put up with sound doctrine. For all of us, we want to be the church that Jesus wrote a letter to in the book of Revelation. We want to be the church of Philadelphia. The church of Philadelphia is the mission-minded church. Because I want to remind you of something. It's never just about us. Is the purpose of our life is just to save ourselves and the rest of the world can go to hell? The purpose of Him saving us is that we become a part of the body of Christ and part of the vehicle that He uses to reach the world. Is the world lost? My friends, do you even recognize America anymore? Because I don't. It's like there is so much darkness. It's like living in the pagan world that the Bible was written in. But I got great news. What happened to that pagan world as the Word of God went out? The pagan world got changed, and that's exactly what is going to happen now. But from the very beginning of Genesis, the very first temptation of Satan was to attack the Word of God. Did God really say? You know, God's really not fair. Isn't that what you hear the world saying today? And I want to tell you that the Lord promises this church in Philadelphia that's mission-minded, that is adhering to the Word of God and not denying His name. He said, I'm going to keep you from the hour of trial, which is going to come. That is the great tribulation. All right? That's His promise to that church. But He also wrote another letter to the church of Laodicea. And my friends, you can find this church all over the world. This church, Laodicea, you know what it means? Lukewarm. It's neither hot nor cold. Now, they had a self-assessment of themselves. You know what it was? We're rich. We're powerful. We have need of nothing. I can tell you, you can go home today and turn on your TV set and you'll find church after church like this. But as Paul wrote young Timothy, he said, there will come a time where people won't put up with sound doctrine. But according to their itching ears, they will heap up. And unbelievably, it's always what happens in the church. As time goes on, we've watched entire denominations careen off into liberalism to where they don't believe the Bible anymore. Entire colleges careen off into liberalism that at one time were a Christian college and now all they have is a Christian name, which is worse than just a secular state college. And you watch it happen time and time again. And the Lord has something to say about that church. I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. My friends, don't be going to a lukewarm church that's not teaching the Word of God and doesn't believe what the Bible says. In fact, there comes a time in the Old Testament where the Word of God gets lost in the house of God. It's under the reign of Josiah, and they discover the Word of God in the house of God that got lost. I guarantee you, the majority of churches, there's one thing that you won't have to take with you to that church, and that's a Bible. How sad is that? And maybe they're going to have a verse or two of some feel good, and they're going to tell you, you're just fine. You can live however you want. When you read the Bible, though, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, you know what it does? It operates in your life. We have a saying, read your Bible and pray every day. You know, I've got a lot of Joshua Springs people here. I told them today, you can run, but you can't hide. You know, look who found you. But every once in a while, we'll have the whole church say it, and you can say it with me. Read your Bible and pray every day. My friends, it's not rocket science, is it? But here's the deal. When you know yourselves what the Word of God says, number one and first and foremost, He's going to minister to you in your life. He's going to be able to deal with the sins, because where do all those battles of temptation begin? They begin in your mind. They start finding a place in your heart before they're ever acted out. Let's get it dealt with before it ever becomes an action that destroys your life and destroys your marriage and destroys your family. Can I hear an amen? Amen. And that comes because it's living. And here's the amazing thing. For Mike, it might be verse number 2. For Cheryl, it might be verse number 4. For Julie, it might be verse number 6, because it is living. So I tell all of my Bible college students, number one, stop thinking you're so cool, because you're not. And you're going to get old like me. Take a look. I'm your future here. All right? But it is the power of the Word of God made alive by the Holy Spirit that changes our lives. One of my favorite stories, because we also have a Christian school, and we've had a Christian school. Mike taught in our Christian school. And I had gotten that. We had this one kid in high school. Typical deal. You know, the parents are on fire Christians doesn't mean the kids are on fire Christians. And, you know, that was the situation. And he was just there. And, you know, he wasn't our worst student. But, you know, he gave us a little bit of a run for the money at different times. Well, their family moved away. I lost complete track of him. 10 years later, I get a letter from him. And he said, first of all, I want to apologize. And second of all, I want to tell you that when I was a junior in high school and you were teaching Leviticus, I got saved. First of all, it's a miracle somebody got saved out of Leviticus. I mean, how awesome is that? Actually, my assistant, BJ's Marilee's son. Get all these names right. Marilee's son, BJ. Interesting story. My wife went home with the Lord with the Lord first. Brent was still alive. I saw him at the pastor's conference. That's the only time I ever saw him. The only time I was in Idaho was at one time, and that was 20 years, 25 years before. But Brent and I knew each other, and he was a big, tall guy, so we'd always find each other at the pastor's conference and always had a meal. Well, it turns out he got the same cancer, and I said, I'll help if you want. And I want to tell you, it was painful, because that particular type of cancer, it has marks. I mean, your skin starts changing colors, you know. And about 3 months later, he called me to come up and help. And then he asked me to oversee the church because he could no longer preach. And I have some funny memories of all that. Once, he was still buying donuts for the church. They'd started this church in Buell. And so, you know, like Mike gets here way early in the morning. Mike is here way before, and I'm at our church before anybody else, and Britt always was. He'd stop by Albertson, buy the donuts. take them to church. And this particular cancer, you actually fall asleep very easily. So we're driving to Buell. I'm in the passenger seat and he's driving. And he falls asleep. I wake him up and I go, Brent, you're going to go to heaven peacefully. Meanwhile, I'm going to be screaming in the passenger seat. So how about if I drive from now on? So we get over to the church and he passes out. He gets the donuts ready, passes out on his couch in his office. It's just painful because that's exactly what my wife had done. And out loud in his office by myself, hours before anybody else is there, I go, what am I doing here? And the Lord said, I've called you. And then I was a part of his celebration of life. And when his son got up there to share, as families do, the Lord spoke to my heart that I was to raise him up to be a pastor and he'd have a double anointing of his dad. And I want to tell you, the way that I did that was marry his mother and then he moved down. But I want to tell you, BJ is my assistant pastor and he has a double anointing of his dad, and he's preaching for me right now in Joshua Springs, and I've turned over Wednesday nights and I've turned over Sunday nights to him. And I want to tell you, they're bigger and better than when I was doing it. And I want to tell you, you know, pastors can be pretty insecure. They don't want anyone better than them. But I want to tell you, as pastors, we need to get over that and we need to raise up people who are better. Now, it just so happened, BJ's like 38, I think, that last Sunday we were all in Hagerman for the 4th of July. They were up here. We had Blaine, who I believe is 25 years old, preach for us on a Sunday morning. Home run, bases loaded. It was fantastic. So as a church, guess what? You get to be a part of raising up the next generation. I honestly, and it's a problem in Calvary, because there's a lot of pastors who have my age who haven't raised up anybody else. And you know what's sad? The church is going to die with them. And my friends, I don't care what town you go to, anywhere in the country you're going to find it. There's going to be a big church on the corner of Main Street and Broadway that at one time God was moving and pouring out his spirit in. And today it's a mausoleum and just a few old people still hanging on. And is that sad? And I would never want something I've spent my entire life at to die with me. Instead, I want to pour into that next generation. And I want to tell you, you can be very happy because Pastor Mike and Cheryl have that exact same heart. And guess what? There's all kinds of CBI students here besides your own kids that you have been raising up in ministry. Can I hear a hallelujah? Hallelujah. So they taught the word, the church was born. And I tell you, it was so exciting yesterday because out at Jeff and Julie's as the church together, I loved what Mike did. He saved Psalm 159, 150. Together, the church read it out loud. As you finish teaching through the entire Bible. Now, I've been at Joshua Springs for 31 years, so I've finished doing that three times now. I have three of these Bibles that I mark up. I know if you look at Pastor Mike's Bible, it's exactly the same way as mine, and he preaches exactly the same way, because that's a pattern that was given to him. That's a pattern that was given to me, and it's so exciting, and that's where you get to be a part of writing notes in your Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and going through the entirety of your scriptures. Can I hear an amen? Amen. So the church was born. From that little place on the Rupert Town Square, Jeff found out that this place was for sale, this school here. Is this a miracle of God? To have an entire block in a school building right in the heart of all the towns that surround it here. And it's interesting because as Pastor Mike was in the Philippines, he started doing research. Do you know that the word Minidoka, the Indian name for Minidoka, you know what that's a name for? The springs. That's why this is called the springs. Because it is a spring of living water that is bubbling up. It was something that God would do, desires to do, and still desires to do in reaching out to this. Does this community need Jesus? All these communities need Jesus. I got to tell you, though, we went to Declo Days yesterday. We ended at, what's Wix? Wix? We went there. What a great place to eat. And anyway, they were out having a little band out there. So I said, now I've been to Declo Days. How exciting is that? So I love small towns. I'm from a small town in Kansas. And I love old buildings and architecture, all of that. I want to go on just real quickly to wrap things up here. Because the church began, and as soon as people got saved, they got baptized. One of Gary and Cindy, I got to tell you, Gary and Cindy, I've known since I went to California in Bible college. I was at their wing. Stand up, because they just moved here. So I was at their wedding. So and they know me from way back. And our church in Yucca Valley started as an outreach of that church, just as this church did. Do you see, this is exactly what happened all the way back from Philippi as it became a church and it began to outreach and other places and other places and other places till it got here to Hebron, Idaho, and there's a church here now. So as they were sharing the word, people got saved. Where's Debbie? She got baptized. I saw her early. There she is. Stand up back here. And then Jesse's daughter got baptized yesterday. It was so awesome seeing. And for me, it was such a blessing because a part of their lives, a part of their kids' lives, and now their children's lives. What does that make me, a great-grandpa or something? Anyway, of seeing the work that God is doing is so very, very exciting. So the church begins. Now I want to tell you that whenever God's doing great things, is the enemy busy? The enemy's always busy. So what's the story? Let's read it. In verse number 16. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination met us, who brought her master much profit by fortune telling. My friends, I just want to say something. I know there's all kinds of shows on TV about fortune telling and divination. It is demonic. Does everybody realize that? I don't care how much that gal smiles on TV. It is demonic, and the Bible says to have absolutely nothing to do with it, and things never change. In fact, when we go with Jerry and Tracy to Malawi, there you find witch doctors. I mean, I've been preaching in Malawi once in this tiny little church where two guys dressed up like chickens, like birds, were standing outside calling down curses on us. So there is a very real darkness. And again, in our own country here, there is so much demonic darkness that is unbelievable. And the battle has always been there. So the scripture goes on. The girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us," and it really should be a way of salvation. And she did this for many days. Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her masters saw that the hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men being Jews, can't you feel the anti-Semitism? And again, my friends, the hatred of the Jews is demonic in nature. It's the only way that you can explain all of the persecution, the times that they've tried to annihilate the Jews. Being Jews exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs which are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose up together with them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to have them kept securely, and having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. Where Lydia was the top of the social class, this slave girl would have been the very bottom of the social class, but Jesus cared about her as well. Now, Marilee and I have been to Philippi. The Romans built what was called a marketplace, an agora, and it was very much like the Rupert Town Square. So here's the deal. On one side of the town square, they had a grandstand. It was the Bema seat. It was the judgment seat. On this side, they had the temple to the worship of Caesar. And on this side, they had the magistrates. And the rest of the big square was all the shops. And so as they bring Paul and Silas there, or Paul and these guys here, one of the things that we've got to realize is that they stripped them naked publicly. Can you imagine how humiliating? Anybody here want to be stripped naked on Rupert Town Square? You know, on the 4th of July? Yeah, no. And then they beat them with rods. They put them in the cell, in the inner cell, and fastened their feet in stocks. And again, you got to realize that meant if you had to go to the bathroom, you had to set in your own waste. And Paul and Silas were doing what? They were praising the Lord. The scripture goes on, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing that the prisoners had fled, drew his own sword. He was about to kill himself, because Rome had a law that if you were the jailer and your prisoners escaped, you got their punishment. So rather than wait for Rome to kill him, he decided to take matters into his own hand. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, "Do yourself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" This is the call of mankind. What must I do to be saved? And my friends, there's such a powerful lesson for all of our lives, and we all need help doing this. Because does anybody here have trouble murmuring and complaining? It comes pretty naturally, right? We can murmur and complain about everything and anything and any slight inconvenience. You know, in Idaho during the summertime, they're doing road work all over the place, right? Because you can't do it in the wintertime. And it's like you get caught and you have to wait 20 minutes on road work. You know, we can complain about anything. But I want to tell you, that's not what Paul and Silas did. And there was a person, actually it's the person that was responsible. The one that beat them and stripped them and locked them into the ankle braces in the inner cell. That very person Paul reaches out to. My friends, do you want to take revenge? Hey, that guy's going to kill himself. Good. Go to hell while you're at it. My friends, is that the heart of Jesus? And it all began because through a very, very difficult time, instead of focusing on me, instead of focusing on woe is me, On poor me, what were they doing? Praising the Lord. Paul would write, when he wrote the letter to the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord. You guys are going to have to study that again. Rejoice in the Lord. Some of you still don't believe it. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Again, rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
And again, I say rejoice. Because you know why? Unbeknownst to you, people are watching. Marilee had an experience once. She was in a different town. She was sitting in one booth. And there was a bunch of people, or four people, sitting in the next booth over, talking about a church and a pastor. Now, I want to ask you a question. If Marilee would not have been a Christian, would she want to become a Christian listening to that conversation? But is that not what happens in the world? That's why Jesus said the greatest thing that we can have as a family of believers is that we love one another, because people are watching. I've been a pastor for a long time. How many parents do we have out there? You still have kids at home. All right. I'm going to give you a little tip here about raising kids. If you go home after Sunday and have roast preacher for lunch, don't expect your kids to ever want to walk with the Lord, because they're not. And so the reality is this, that Paul and Silas, regardless of their circumstances, were praising the Lord. And what ends up happening? This guy, who was actually responsible for their hurt, gets saved. He takes them home, his whole family gets saved, and they get baptized. There's only one river there, so it's probably the same river that the people at Lydia's house had gotten baptized in. And my friends, the church at Philippi was born. Now, before I close today, because there isn't anything more important than this, if you're here today and you don't know that you're saved, if I ask you, are you saved and born again? The correct answer is not, I hope so. And the correct answer is not, I think so. Because when you are, you know so. All right? And the Bible makes it very clear in something that Paul writes. He writes that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And he repeats it again. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And again, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So, my friends, there is only one reason why you need to walk out of this sanctuary today unsaved. And that's because you want to. I don't care whether your wife is a Christian. It doesn't make you a Christian. I don't care whether your kids are Christians. That doesn't make you a Christian. I don't care whether your parents are Christians. That doesn't make you a Christian. There's only one thing. It's when we believe ourselves. And so I'm going to ask that you pray with me right now. I'm going to pray and you join with me. Lord Jesus, I do confess with my mouth that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who would die on the cross to take the place of my sin. And so I ask for forgiveness. I ask you to come into my heart. And Lord, I want to live for you. I believe that you rose from the dead, that you ascended into heaven, and that you're coming again. And until that day, I'm going to live for you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, Amen. Let's all stand. And again, what an honor to be able to be here with you and looking out over this great auditorium filled with everyone. In such a short time, the work that God has done by the power of His Holy Spirit here. Let's give Him a clap offering and thank the Lord. Thank you, Mike. All right. And so if you would like individual prayer, we'll be up front here. Mike and Cheryl will be here. Marilee and I will be here. And Jeff and Julie will be here. We invite you to come up, and we'd love to visit with you. God bless you, and have a great week. One more thing. If you're a believer, then you need to be baptized. It's not that baptism saves you. The Bible's clear on that. But it becomes an act of obedience. You know, I tell people all the time, baptism isn't something to argue about. I was baptized as a baby. Okay, I had nothing to do with it, but the particular church that I grew up in, they baptized babies. But I want to tell you, when I became a believer in Jesus Christ, I got baptized because I knew what I was doing and I was making a decision in my life. So why should the Lord give you anything else if you're not willing to take that step, simple step of obedience? Because you're declaring to the Lord, you're declaring to your family and friends, I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And when you go under the water, you're saying, I'm going to die to myself and my old way of life. I am identifying with the death of Jesus Christ. And when we're brought up out of the water, the very same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead gives to us living, new life in our lives. So I want to encourage you, if you're here and you're a believer, be baptized. Here's another opportunity. It's just a step in your growing with the Lord. Can I hear a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
All right.
Thank you.
Now I'll stop. I promise.
Thanks for joining us today. To learn more about the Springs Calvary Chapel, please visit our website at www.thespringscalvarychapel.org. Join us in person at the Springs in Habern, Idaho, or here on the podcast as we worship together in spirit and in truth.